Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
You are the salt of the earth, and if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and give it light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let the light shine before others, that you may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, friends, you might like to take your Bibles or open them to Genesis 18 or keep them open at Genesis 18. I'll pray for us. Lord, thank you again that we can gather as your people. We thank you you're a powerful God who speaks through your word and your spirit. Please, as we spend time in your word now, just open up to us what you would have us do and be as we seek to be salt and light and to live for your glory. Amen. Well, as long as it makes you happy. Truth is whatever I feel it is. That's my truth. We need to feel fulfilled and do what it is we feel passionate about. These are all common things we hear in Europe. Very common things. And like Europe, Australians increasingly understand their lives in pain, pleasure categories. Life is about maximising pleasure and minimising pain. It's about pursuing the things that bring us happiness and fulfilment and rejecting those things that don't. Friends, how should we engage with this pain-pleasure dynamic? How should we? And how do we equip God's people for mission in this cultural context? Now, when I talk about the mission of God's people, I'm talking about the all-embracing purposes of what God's people are called to be and do in this world. To be a people at mission, we need encouragement. We need guidance. We need input at this present time. And sometimes this input can come in surprising places. Like the Bible reading this morning. The notorious story of God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah is a story that gives us input in the mission of God's people. How so? Well, the passage helps us with two questions. What is the mission of God's people? What is it? And how does it work in practice? Especially as we think about our present pain, pleasure, cultural context. So firstly, what's the mission of God's people? Perhaps you'd like to have Genesis 18 in front of you. We read in this remarkable passage God visiting Abraham and Sarah because he's chosen Abraham and will bless other nations in and through him. And as they look towards Sodom, the Lord makes this incredible statement, and I'll read it again. Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on the earth will be blessed through him. For I've chosen him. Chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. By doing what is right and just. So that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. So what are we being told? We're told that Abraham will teach his children and his household after him in the way of the Lord. They are to walk in God's way. And as they do this, God will bless them and they'll be a blessing to others. Okay? This is to be Abraham's mission, to walk in the way of his Lord. His descendants are to walk in God's way. Now, notice that God's promise to bless comes in the wider context of judgment. Wider context of God's judgment. We read in verse 20 that the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah was great. Sodom and Gomorrah was a place of idolatry and profound injustice. The prophet Ezekiel described their sin as arrogance, affluence, and callousness to the needy. That is, they were overproud and overfed and underconcerned. Does that ring a bell? Perhaps those words could describe our present cultural context as we think about our nation. Sodom could be a model of this world, of our world, a world that gives itself over to idolatry. A world, especially in the West, focused on self, suspicious of, if not outright resistance, to the cost or inconvenience of welcoming the outsider, embracing the stranger and the alien. So we have in this passage both Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah, and the contrast is incredibly clear. A clear contrast. In a world like Sodom, whose evil is causing an outcry, God wants a community characterized by his values. In a world like Sodom, God's people are called to walk in his ways by reflecting God's character. But there is a challenge, isn't there? There's a challenge because sometimes God's people look no different to those living around us. There's always a danger, isn't there? Think about your life, as I think about mine, there's always a danger our choices and our priorities are being driven by this pain-pleasure paradigm. So, what does it mean to walk in God's ways? Well, it means literally to follow in God's footsteps, and that's primarily about imitation. My two sons, when they were small, they used to follow behind me at the beach. And I'd be walking along and they'd be jumping into the footsteps that I just made. Jumping into those marks that I left behind. And it's the same with God. We're to observe how he acts and follow suit. Observe his character and then reflect that in ours. But to walk in God's ways is also about following his instructions. It's also about listening and following his teaching. And what does verse 19 tell us in the text? It tells us that involves doing what is right and just. Now, the measure of righteousness is, of course, God's own righteousness. Right living is to be reflected in all our relationships, just as it's to be reflected in our character. Justice is about intervening in situations that are wrong and unjust and working to correct them. God's rescue of his people from Egypt? Great case in point, isn't it? A people who were being set upon, who were victims of abuse, but then having rescued his people from slavery, Deuteronomy tells us God wants his people, in light of their experience in Egypt, to follow his example by walking his way, by doing what's right and what's just, welcoming the outcast and the alien and the stranger. A culture and a society to be radically different from the nations around them. Is that what happened? Well, the Old Testament tells us that God's people didn't do that. They didn't live justly or rightly. And so God judged them as a result. So the Bible's telling us, this passage is telling us, friends, there are two roads to follow. Abraham or Sodom. And God's election of Abraham was intended to produce a distinctive community who are taught and are committed to ethical reflection on God's character. And the result of such a community existing? One like this will be the fulfillment of God's blessing of the nations. Or to put it another way, it's an understanding that biblical mission includes biblical ethics. Mission has to be speaking God's words, verbally proclaiming the good news about Jesus so people can hear, so that people can respond. But mission also means doing God's words by reflecting his character in every aspect of our lives. So, what does it take to reflect God's character? Well, here we're confronted with the reality of Jesus. And as we reflect on the reality of who he is and what he's done, it brings with it a possible response to this pain-pleasure dynamic. For think about it. Before receiving the glory of a resurrection crown, Jesus endured a suffering cross. Jesus' answer, the Bible's answer to pleasure pain, is to reframe it with suffering and glory. And that's the path of the cross. Christian discipleship critiques pain and pleasure by embracing the biblical idea of suffering and glory. And I think to open that up a little, just a little, turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8, reading from verse 16. The Spirit of Jesus himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. The glory revealed in us. Friends, in an increasingly hostile environment, which I think describes Australia as it does Europe, increasingly hostile environment, we need to encourage one another in what it means to understand and persevere in suffering, which underpins present and eternal glory. To a culture dominated by pain-pleasure dynamics, we must reframe this narrative by not just saying it's not true, but by demonstrating God's love. To a culture that says Christianity results in hate and hurt, is abusive and exploitative, we must live Matthew 5. And we must live 1 Peter 2. Live such good lives among the pagans, though they may speak evil about us, they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. We know that people become Christians through hearing the good news about Jesus, through hearing the gospel. But in a pain-pleasure context, we also need to demonstrate it. Experience tells us that God uses not just what we say, but what we do to draw people to himself. That's what mission's about. But how does it work in practice? What about the how? How do we do it in practice? Well, again, as Paul says, as the Spirit of Jesus himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children, we have an expectation as this future world breaks into the present, not fully, but powerfully in and through God's word and God's spirit, there is an expectation that we will see God at work in and through his people in all kinds of ways. Amongst us, there'll be lots of stories of how the Lord has given us his love and wisdom to reflect his character in our places of work, with our families and neighbours, and our communities. Now, Claire and I could tell you countless stories from our time in Europe. We shared a little bit about Stig, a Belgian student who studied in Lausanne, came to social events for internationals, and as he spent time with us and our team sharing meals, he told us he never knew he could feel so loved outside his own family. Now, if you know anything about European culture, that's a very significant thing for an adult Belgian student, male student, to say that. And there were conversations about the faith that flowed in that context. Now, he hasn't become a Christian yet, but he still took the time to travel all the way from Portugal, where he's working at present, to spend time with us before we headed back to Australia. And we could talk about Jaiwan. This is a different person from the one with the beaters and the cream, thank goodness. Postgraduate student from China. She was overwhelmed by the love she received from us, but couldn't believe we really meant it. Now, you need to understand, there are trust issues in that culture and in that context. She couldn't really believe or trust that we would mean it. So for a year or so, she tested it, challenging us to stop loving her through the way she behaved. It's a very painful time. But finally, she trusted that we'd love her, even if she never became a Christian. But in doing that, she came to understand the unconditional love of Jesus, a love that perseveres. Friends, it is Christians modelling other person-centred love, which is suffering love that makes a difference for people. How do we do mission? Well, it's certainly about looking for opportunities to share the gospel verbally, but never forgetting that God will use what we do, although we may never see the fruit. That's a big view of God. When churches, when growth groups and individuals ask, how can we care for the needy? How can we respond to the poor? How can we work for peace? They're not only asking, how do we do what's right and just? They're also asking questions of mission. That's why I'm excited by Deep Creek's vision and desire to see this community and this city transformed by the gospel. I'm excited by your Pathways course. What's it called? Pathway to Life. which encourages you to be people of the Word and Spirit. To have an expectation that because Jesus has risen from the dead, that his Spirit now dwells powerfully within his people, and so we can have an expectation that God will work powerfully in and through his people. Missionaries for Jesus, exercising an influence wherever God places you, which is and must be a ministry and a work of his Word and his Spirit. Always expecting that as you love and serve people, God can bring transformation as he works powerfully through us. So let's ask ourselves, if we're called to walk in God's ways, what difference does that make as we go about our daily life, our choices? What difference does it make in our actions and our attitudes and our relationships? Friends, God is already present in the world. So let's pray for wisdom. And let's ask God's Spirit to help us see where he is at work and get involved with that. Let's see the people God has already placed in our lives. Our family members, our neighbours, our colleagues, our brothers and sisters. Let's see even the people sitting right next to us. Let's see them with fresh eyes as people God loves and God values. Let's be curious about them. Let's listen well and love practically. And as they share their story, see how or where God's big story connects into that. Because there will be a connection, for the gospel is for everybody. How's the gospel speaking to their lives? What is mission? How do we do mission in practice? We walk in God's way. Our passion to see people come to know Christ must be matched with an equal passion to see God's people living lives of justice and righteousness, doing what is right, doing what is just, as we ask for more of God's Word and more of God's Spirit every day to help us to walk in his way. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we are now a people of your Word and your Spirit. As we think about what it means to walk in your way, to do justice and righteousness, please humble us to be people of prayer, to be asking every day to fill us with your Spirit, so that we might know how to walk in your way, we might know how to be salt and light, we might know how to be an influence for you wherever you've placed us, because we know you're already there. And as we do that, may we direct people not to ourselves but to you, the true and living God, and may they declare praise to our Heavenly Father. Amen.